Welcome to this short bonus episode of Liberty Dies with Thunderous Applause. There are lingering questions on the Nazi legacy and the Second World War, and far too much to discuss of Germany in just one episode. So today, I'll be asking Uncle Ian some of your questions, as well as some of my own. Enjoy.
How do you feel about this? The war was won with American money, British intelligence, and Soviet men.
I think it's a great summary. If the Americans hadn't come into the war, it may have had a totally different ending, certainly would have had a totally different time frame. The work that the British did in Bletchley Park, some of that's still coming to light even now. Yeah, the sacrifices of the military and civilian population of Eastern Europe in general, and in terms of the war effort, the Soviet Union, can't be overstated.
So, Uncle Ian, I mentioned the historian Tom Holland, who says that the Nazis have become so synonymous with evil that they've become their own religious figures, and the devil is Hitler, and Auschwitz is hell. And the war has become our society's primary morality tale of good and evil. What will Jesus do has been replaced with secular society, and has been replaced by what would Hitler not do? And so the Nazis act as a spectre over modern politics. Civil rights, gay rights, mass immigration have occurred in part due to our fear of resembling the Nazis. Everyone from student activists to Vladimir Putin claims to be fighting Nazis. We've had lots of other dictators. Why is it they think that the Nazis occupy this space in our imagination?
I think, Scott, part of it is that they covered so much of Europe for such a long time. There's so much evidence as to what went on. I think also the fact that so much of the Second World War has been reenacted and replayed for us, whether it's through television series, historical novels, stories from survivors, Holocaust museums. I've been to the Jewish Museum in Vienna. I'm still in shock that my wife and I were able to visit a synagogue in Prague that hadn't been leveled during the German occupation. There is still so much evidence, the concentration camps themselves, that it's undeniable, and it's not that difficult to find out the sheer extent of what went on and what happened. The fact also that the Second World War was literally a world war. Our own country was bombed and invaded by submarines. It wasn't just something that happened on the other side of the world. The other thing that really brings it into consciousness is the Nuremberg trials. That was a very public way of the victors of the war making sure that the world got to hear about the atrocities. Having been to Nuremberg, I'm fascinated by the irony that the Nuremberg trials occurred really just up the road from the Zeppelin field where the party rallies were held.
Uncle Ian, a famous man, a good man named Homer Simpson once said, "It takes two to lie, one to lie and one to listen." How much blame can be placed on the German people?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, Scott, is that in the lead up to and during the Second World War, Hitler did not kill anybody personally. He might have ordered some executions, but Hitler never actually murdered another human being. I'm not saying this to exonerate Hitler. I'm saying that the state apparatus fell in behind him. Whether it was the army, whether it was the SS, whether it was those stormtroopers in the early days who were beating people up. I can't imagine what it would have been like to live in a totalitarian state like that, especially with limited access to media. We take that all a bit for granted these days. But the German people at the time have to bear some of the responsibility. Yes, there was resistance to Hitler, and some people paid for it with their lives. but the operations of organizations like the chemical company who moved their manufacturing plant next to Auschwitz, I think you used the term best customer. That's a symbol of how the state apparatus was fully in support. As demonic as he was and as convincing as he was, there's no way Hitler could have done all of that on his own.
The thing about Hitler is people keep saying he's crazy, and I think that's a cop-out.
It is a cop-out. Yeah.
He had an ideology, and he was acting logically in accordance to the ideology. Traditional morality is weakness. Men are just beasts, and in nature, the strong kills the weak and takes their territory. And he believed that, and that's what he enacted. Another question, Uncle Ian. The Nazis are considered right-wing, and they are right-wing, but why are they called the National Socialists?
The first part of that question, in the early 1920s, being a nationalist in Germany meant trying to restore German prestige or German status. So Hitler certainly wanted to be identified with that, and there were other party names that included the word national in their title. You're right, it wasn't a socialist party, and in fact the SPD, the German Socialist Party, was one of their strong rivals. However, Hitler was prepared, if necessary, in certain industries to take over the means of production into government hands if he needed to, and he would have done that if the major industrial and chemical companies in Germany hadn't got on side with his rearmament and war preparation efforts. So he would have been prepared to use socialist means, but he would have dressed it up in another way. The other element on that comes back to that left-right continuum, which, as we've said, often has the same methods, both the far left and the far right, to the extent where that isn't really a straight line. It's probably closer to being a horseshoe.
Will we see someone as destructive as Hitler again?
Sadly, you can't rule it out. We're recording this at a time when there's still parts of the world that are going through violence. But even on this podcast, Scott, we've talked about how man's inhumanity to man has happened in places as diverse as Cambodia, Zimbabwe, and Chile. And all of those three things that I just mentioned have happened during my lifetime. When you add to that the ethnic cleansing in the former Yugoslavia, which happened in your lifetime, there's always going to be a tyrant out there who's prepared to try and bring a country along with him.
Uncle Ian, it's the Third Reich. Why is it the Third Reich?
The Nazis were very clear about continuity within Germany and within Central Europe. So the First Reich for them was the Holy Roman Empire, which covered most of the territory that we now know as Germany. And that's the same Holy Roman Empire that was started by Charlemagne, whom we've met previously. The Second Reich came with the unification of Germany in 1871, so the Kaiser regime. The Weimar Republic didn't count as a Reich in Nazi terms.
It was too flabby and friendly, and they didn't invade anybody.
No, I think that was part of it, but also because the Weimar Republic had been founded by the November criminals, who were part of the worldwide Jewish Bolshevist conspiracy. So that didn't count as a Reich. And yes, it was weak, it was not powerful, it was bankrupt, it was immoral as well. The Nazis called themselves the Third Reich. Hitler was quite confident talking about it being the thousand-year Reich. So he was Chancellor for exactly 12 years and 3 months.